Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
Chemda, how fun is the chat room? Keithandthegirl.com/chat. We pop in every Wednesday around 8 p.m. Eastern time, and it's a hoot and a half.
It is. It's actually saved us, and a lot of people have expressed it from that loneliness of quarantine. And now that a lot of people are not quarantining, we're still meeting every Wednesday, and it's really a blast.
It's so fun. We also play poker, but you don't have to play. You can just interact, you know, normally. But understand that sometimes you'll be telling a sad story, for example, or something bad happened in your day. Your dog died and was turned inside out. And then all of a sudden it's, you had a fucking straight fuck you. I'm sorry, Michelle. So you were saying your dog got hit by a...
Yeah, there is a side conversation happening that sometimes does not really act as a compatibility right. partner to one that's already happening.
But it's a good time. Poker? Okay. Speaking of which, I got first place second time in a row. Neither here nor there. Moving on.
I want to be happy for you.
Thank you.
But I was honestly
Thank
rooting
you.
For Liz. Shout out to Liz. Sorry, oh I was. Okay. That's... And good. But congratulations.
Thank you. Dear Keith and Chemda, you can write, of course, to info@keithandthegirl.com, KATG.com. Keith and Chemda, I took a road trip and we all caught up on the dad email saga. Thank you. And holy shit, Joshua. Of course, I'm talking about keithandthegirl.com/dad. I'm in the middle of turning that into a book. We're the only people that do audiobooks and written books the opposite way. Right? You can hear the audio right now at /dad, but it'll be a book. I think a book's going to be a lot of fun because you can go back and reference his little tricks and lies, you know, my father's. Right now, I'm at the part where my mom definitely has dementia, you know, and my dad said at this time, my dad said to my mom, sorry, Catherine. You know what? Catch people up on the saga just so it makes a little sense.
Holy shit. What's happening right now, you mean?
No. Just the story in general.
Okay. The story in general is Keith's dad has been a psychopath his whole life. But in this, there's a concentrated year where he proves himself over and over again to have the complete wrong response from a father to a son in what we're calling the dad email saga, where Keith contacts Keith's ex-wife of 2 years.
My dad did, yeah.
Two years after the divorce, right. His dad contacted the ex and said, hey, whatever happened between you and Keith. Keith gets it sent by the ex and now pretends to be the ex with the father for an entire year, where we learn Keith's dad has a crush on his ex-wife.
Yes.
Where we learn that Keith's dad is pretending to have multiple degrees, pretending to have multiple friends. He does not have one. Right. Pretending all of this stuff because he thinks he's talking to Keith's ex the entire time. We learn phrases like 86 means something sexual. We learn phrases like, you sure make this old man's libido jingle.
Oh my.
We learned so many phrases. The one thing we don't learn is, where is Keith from? We'll never know that.
We'll never know. We're never going to know. There's no truth to anything. So right now in the story where I'm at writing this, I have Kat. You know, it's me, obviously. Kat says, did you tell Keith about us? How does he know? I think he found out about our relationship. And that's when my dad... Do you remember this? We called an emergency Keith and the Girl meeting. That's when my dad told my mom, Keith talked about us. It's so sick mm-hmm. that I can't even repeat what it was, but just know that I'm not talking to him now because it's bad news. That's in case Kat does say, hey, Mally's, the husband has been doing some creepy shit.
Yes. In order for people to get away with something, they have to shut the person down who knows the truth. So they have to vilify that person. If you know the truth, the person who's trying to lie will say, you know, Chemda's always told a lot of lies. Isn't it interesting that she lies about this and the next has nothing to do with whatever your lie is about, but right. It's establishing me as a liar.
What did he say about us? I can't even repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Well, you just bring it up and you're saying it to a woman with dementia. That's not even weirder. What a big old asshole. That's where I'm at in the book right now. And it only gets crazier.
Oof.
Again, when my dad told my ex-wife, at least he thinks he is, you make my libido jingle, that's about a fifth into this saga.
Mm.
I say that because keithandthegirl.com/dad has 5 parts. all right, let's see. I was talking to somebody the other day, just yesterday, in fact, and I know her well, I think, and she just got diagnosed with ADD. Not a surprise to me, which is funny, you know, like, yeah, no shit. You're nervous when there's silence. And she said it's life-changing. And it makes me think of Mike Lawrence, who said it's life-changing that he found that he was diagnosed with autism, you know? And it made me think of this show. And if I may humbly recommend it, if you don't realize, if you're wondering, hey, why am I off? Why this kind of thing? And it's the show about ADD taken from the Keith and the Girl marathon, right? It's episode number 3499. I took a little section. Jeff Meacham, Emily Panik, Shelton Lindsay. I think it's going to help people. B. Jason, the great B. Jason, who did Cats in the Cradle songs for us. He said he realized something after listening to that episode.
So here's the thing. It might have been obvious for us that these people were on some sort of spectrum, that they needed this, that, and the next. But you can't call anybody out.
Of course.
It's sort of like calling an alcoholic out. Like, they're the only ones who diagnose themselves, which is an issue because the first most difficult thing to do is to admit it. So for years, Keith, you've heard like, hey, you might be an alcoholic, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And you were like, yeah, sure, whatever, until you decided. And then it's like, duh, obviously, to you, to everybody, right. All of a sudden it becomes very obvious, but you can't tell anybody else. So if we can just all claim something, claim you're addicted to something, claim you got some sort of problem. If you don't, maybe do a little, I'm asking. Hands up if you think that I have something, and then I will take the next step.
It's a very fun show, but it does. It might make you think, hey, you know, this is what's is what's going on in my head. Again, the episode is 3499, and it's the 24-hour marathon. It's called "Does Keith Have ADD?" I go through an ADD test in real time. That, of course, part of the marathon. Like I said, the whole thing available at keithandthegirl.com/store. All right. It's all about self-care. And Hemda just went to the movie theater for the second time in so many weeks, rewatched Everything Everywhere All the Time All at Once Now and Forever.
Yes.
This is a 2-hour, 20-minute movie, something like that. Tell me what happens when you see a movie the second time. Boring parts, any bathroom breaks, anything new that you got out of it.
I was a little thrilled that I already saw it just in case I do need a bathroom break this time. We also were looking for movie theaters where it could be a better movie going experience, like with better sound, screen, something. This seemed like, you know, we're really going in the back. Literally, we went to the back of the theater and it was like the leftovers right. for people who snuck in or something. And we got you. You thought you got us. But this movie will forever be indie, I guess. It's getting no respect. I am completely shocked, but whatever. We picked a different theater just to go to a different theater. Okay. We're at the theater. I'm thinking this is going to be a different experience. It's going to take a lot longer to get me to cry if I cry at all. Right. I'll be able to take pauses. I could not get my face away from this screen. If I had to pee, which I did. It just went away because I cannot miss a minute. I cried within the first, I don't even know what. As soon as the mother and daughter had an interaction, I'm like, seriously, already? And then I'm like, yeah. Okay, maybe I'm crying, but I'm not going to sob. It was worse. So the sobbing was worse.
Wow.
Somehow the movie is even better because this time I'm not trying to figure anything out. So I'm in it to begin with. I know what's going on. Somehow doesn't ruin it. It makes it better because I don't have to go, wait, what? Let me make sure I follow that and whatever. Now it's just, I know what the universe is, so I can sit more in it. It went by like it was half the time of the first
time. Wow.
I still was watching it like, what's coming next? Everything came so much faster. I'm like, wait, we're already at this part. I swear to God. And last time this happened to me too, the movie was over and I did not realize for a while. I'm like, wait, that's not credits like in between the second and third part. We're done. We're done now. I need I need an adult. I need help. I need something. This can't be over.
When they trick you with the end?
Yeah. There's no end. I got to say, there's no end. And there was no end that they could have given me because that's the right end. Your mother, who's an immigrant, who has been oppressed and is oppressing herself and in turn oppressing you and trying to get out of her father's own oppression, will not suddenly wake up to a light that is bigger than she can manage. So you're not changing people to completely wrong person, a different person. She might have realized a small, tiny thing. Your mother will not completely 180. I mean, that will take whatever, but it was still, it's so fucking moving. I can't believe this isn't growing into some monster of like, this is an indie film that now everybody feels the need to watch. It's got a cult following. People are I don't know, something that they're wearing the merch. There's like, where's the Kabbalah red string of this movie?
Right.
Where is the I voted sticker of this movie? How is this not like one person sees this and 10 of their friends are now being forced? It's almost assault to make them see this.
Do you think this movie should be mandatory viewing, like a Schindler's List?
I don't believe in anything should be mandatory, and I didn't watch Schindler's List, so maybe that tells you a little bit something.
That's what I'm saying.
But, Schindler's List, if you went to yeshiva for 9 years and they kind of...
You get a pass, sure.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So, I don't... It's too much. You got to watch it. You got to have to... How is nobody watching this?
Do you get nervous with all the shootings that's going on, being at a theater? Does somebody come in and you go, oh, shit?
No one came into this theater, so... Okay.
That's the good news, right?
Yeah. So I'm not where anybody is, so that's the problem. But here's the thing. I grew up here in New York, right? And so all of my life growing up, people were like, nervous for me. When you leave New York, people are like, oh, how do you live there? How do you ride the subway? Are you always scared to get stabbed? Are you always scared to get mugged? And I didn't grow up like that. And now it feels like it's coming back. There was like a lull in our crime, for lack of a better word. And now it feels like you could get shot, you could get stabbed. It feels a little bit different. And it's the same as what it used to be. Yes, but I can't think about it. It's what comes with where I live. What comes with where other people live is my fear of the dark and silence. And I'm way more nervous out there. And maybe that doesn't make sense to somebody who lives in a rural place where they have their gun. They know how to protect themselves. They don't have to wait for the cop. They might even know more, you know, emergency CPR type stuff than me, because that's what they're not scared of. I grew up not being scared of this.
Do you know when they say if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere? They mean if you can stay alive here, you can stay alive anywhere. That's what they mean by that.
But I feel scared staying alive in other people, in other places. I go to a quiet, nice country town and the sun goes down. I'm scared to go outside.
I'm reading about a 911 dispatcher that hung up on a Buffalo supermarket employee that called about that recent mass shooting that we were talking about. She's whispering. I'm whispering because the guy. I'm whispering to the 911 operator. Operator says you don't have to whisper.
Okay, first day on the job.
Yeah, and she goes, I do, because the guy's close to me. I'm telling you, there's a shooting going on, and it's like, well, if you're gonna keep whispering, and then the 911 operator hung up. Cops could have got there faster. Then she had to contact her boyfriend, who then called 911, because anytime you call 911, if you call back, it goes to the same operator. So it's like, you call and tell him, because apparently whispering isn't good for this person that I can't get through.
Is this a volunteer job?
Being a 911 operator?
Yeah.
As opposed to what?
As opposed to protocol, or you don't get your check?
You take the ones you want, you mean?
Do you know that customer service reps can't hang up on us? So I don't even know how 911 could be hung up upon.
I do not give you permission. Okay, so you're still there? Okay, good.
I wouldn't even imagine that they could hang up on me.
Could I speak to a manager? Is somebody more important than you? No offense. Hello? Hello? Why are you whispering? The employee, Letitia, said she tried to tell the dispatcher, ma'am, he's in the store. He's shooting. It's an active shooter. I'm scared for my life. They just hung up. My God. You know what? These 911, you know how I feel about these 911 operators. They don't do a good job because if they ever do their job, Oprah comes out of retirement to interview the person. Oh, and then you called the cops right away and the baby was saved. Yes. Oh, can't believe it. Well, that should be the norm. And they're not. They are. I've called 911 before. These are some cranky, cranky people.
It's very bizarre. It's very bizarre. And I know that you can't hire psychiatrists to pick up the phone for 911. But
right.
My God, I don't know. Like, you, do you know that we all think twice before we call 911? Like, is this an emergency? Yeah. Or, you know, because when a car, well, let's say you find out your car got broken into, it already got broken into. So I don't know if I'm calling 911 because it's no longer an emergency. It's not mid-emergency. This is the kind of math we're doing. So if we're calling you, isn't it if you call the cops or some emergency vehicle is coming out anyway because you could not be able to talk? They have to investigate that someone dialed 911, even if it's your child. Yeah. Don't they have to come out?
And you just have to like them because it's all you got, you know? I don't like the vast majority of doctors. But of course, I need them. I need 911. But come on, get your fucking shit together, people. You're killing people. You're killing
people. Get the training together.
Yeah. Oh, well. I saw here that NBC has announced, this wording is interesting. ABC has announced that it is open to having Chris Rock host the 95th Annual Academy Awards. So they're thinking about it. And by the way, he has hosted before, 2005, 2016, I believe. But it almost now seems like a pity thing, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know when the last time I was going to get hired by people who are writing, who are putting out an alert. We are considering hiring Chemda. What a great article for me.
Right.
Oh, yeah? What's the consideration? My negotiating skills? What is this we're considering? You're either asking or you're not.
And now I say no, it sounds like I wasn't offered the job. If I say yes, I think it's going to look like a pity thing.
Either way, you just got publicity for considering right. me.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that behind the scenes shit? Did I get a backstage pass without recognizing it?
Right. Let's talk. Yeah, of course. I'm reading here that there's a person that charges $1,500. It can go up to as much as, I'll get to the article. But anyway, about $1,500 to give your baby a name. These are baby namers. This is a job that I was not told about in school.
Wait, like not as a joke?
Not as a joke. Professional baby namers. Here's one, for example, Taylor Humphrey, 33. She helped more than 100, she named more than 100 babies in 2020, raking in more than $150,000 from couples.
Oh my God.
Panicked parents are even turning over an eye-popping $10,000. That's if, do you want a pretty good name or do you want a great name? And then picture you get a boring name after you paid $1,500, like, Bob, you'll see. Oh, so Robert? Did I say Robert?
Picture you find Google on your phone.
Right.
Holy shit.
The New York businesswoman who does not have any children bills herself as a passionate writer and storyteller who is, quote, adept at branding, marketing, and social media.
Oh, no. You're branding your kids.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Humphrey said she has always been obsessed with baby names and finally found her true calling when she established her What's in a Baby Name business in 2015.
Oh, wow. She's a genius.
Yeah. Why not?
Her name is stupid. Is that how she started?
That's what
Just
she's...
Just kidding. My name is Chemda. I get it.
Depending... I wonder if she ever says it like, let me take over because your parents, of course, didn't know what the fuck they were doing. I have a... Depending on how much expectant parents pay, Humphrey's services range from a phone call and a bespoke name list to a genealogical investigation. She'll find, you know, other people's names in your past, throw that in your face and go, huh, how about this? $1,500 or more, I guess more, right? Up to $10,000. If she does that work. Humphrey also advised an anxious mother that was considering changing her young daughter's name. It was Isla, ISLA, because it kept being mispronounced, probably like I just did. She was compensated for telling the mom to stick with the Scottish moniker. Should I change my baby's name? Send me $1,500. I'll tell you my thoughts. All right, here's $1,500. No, keep it. The businesswoman said she is frequently approached by parents who are having their third or fourth child because they ran out of names. My dad started repeating.
Your dad's an idiot.
Right. So you got to get somebody that knows how to do this.
Yes. Somebody who can find $10,000 to get a name out of another human being could probably find other shit.
Humphrey advised a mom who was expecting baby number three and needed a name to flow with those of her two older sons, Emmett and Miller. Humphrey's top picks were Grady, Wilson, Waylon, and Fletcher.
Fletcher.
It's about poetry. What? Mm-hmm. I really do. I blame my teachers. These are options? That's amazing.
Is it? Are rich people just bored? Are they out of ideas? They're out of ideas after they have one or two babies. They're out of baby names. So I guess they're out of ideas.
Right. I'm reading that Martin Shkreli, the farmer bro, is out of prison. You remember Martin Shkreli, right, Kenda?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The pharmaceutical exec, known for raising the price of a life-saving drug by 5,000%, right? There are these pills that people took, whether you had AIDS or some kind of immune problem. They were about $13.50 a pill. Oh, literally overnight, he made him $750 because he was the boss. $750 a pill. Can you fucking imagine? And you need it.
And he bought the Wu-Tang album and they were like, we take it back. Ew. The one Wu-Tang album for like $1 million or something.
$2 million he paid for that. $2 million. Once upon a time in Shaolin, he said at the time he wasn't going to hear it. He just wanted to keep it from the people.
Yep. That's on brand.
Community confinement is where he'll go now. So he was taken from prison and until September, he'll be in a halfway house.
But I wonder what that halfway house is going to look like.
Yeah. But he served about 5 years of a 7-year sentence.
But he turns his mansion into a halfway house just so he can be there.
His lawyer said he's not going to be speaking about anything right now. He's just dealing and working on himself. And as the lawyer was saying that, Shkreli went on Facebook and said, getting out of real prison is easier than getting out of Twitter prison. I am canceled.
Wow.
He was in jail for committing securities fraud.
Very short time.
It is a short time. Like, you know, let's see. In January, a U.S. district judge ordered Shkreli to return $64.6 million in profits from the price hike.
I think he's going to land himself in more trouble within the year because nobody likes him. Not even the rich. The rich don't even pretend to like him, which is quite bad when you're in that circuit.
He's a regular catch me if you can, son of a bitch, you know?
He wishes. What kind of shit is that?
But I'm just saying, you know, you're doing securities fraud, but you're going, I'm buying an album nobody can hear. Why do you want the spotlight on you? Because you're a psychopath, but a judge ruled that Shkreli must forfeit the money he made from fraud as part of the $7.4 million forfeiture judgment. The U.S. sold the copy of the Wu-Tang Clan album. So he had to give that up. And supposedly the U.S. sold it to somebody that paid even more than $2 million. So maybe we'll get to hear it after all. let's see. While in the halfway house, I've encouraged Mr. Shkreli to make no further statements, but of course he will. Hello, ladies.
Yeah. How much money does he have left? Do we know?
No, but I'm sure he's fine. You sock a couple bucks away.
Like enough to say stupid shit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So he'll be saying stupid shit.
He fell in love. He found a woman and then dumped the woman. All of this happened in prison. Christy Smythe, a 39-year-old ex-journalist, was dumped by convicted farmer bro Martin Shkreli from prison, said they are still friends, and she's hoping to see him now that he's gotten an early release into a New York City halfway house.
Girl, he fucking did you a favor.
This is like being. Can you imagine your partner's dumps you and they're in jail? It's like being dumped at the height of the pandemic. Get the fuck out! That you take it extra personal. You're in jail. Just say we're together. Nah, I don't wanna. I want options. Options what? You're around old dudes and you're not gay. What are your options? I spoke to him a few days ago. She just said, "I hope to see him and give him a hug. I always have feelings for him."
Oh. God, who is this?
This is a 39-year-old journalist. He, I'll tell you how they fell in love, but she fell in love while he was in prison and got dumped while he was in prison.
Stop it. What's her name?
Christy Smythe. So if you're a member of the Smythe family, I don't know how I can look you in the face. Never mind, go to brunch with your boyfriend. My
God.
The two were once so close that she had her eggs frozen, part of the cost of which was paid by Shkreli's family while he was in prison, and they spoke about having children together. She left her husband and her reporting job at Bloomberg News for Shkreli. Picture that. Picture you're the husband. You're not good enough. Shkreli's better than you.
You know what? That's next level doing you a favor. The husband's being done a favor too, yeah. Also.
Smythe met Shkreli after she was assigned to cover him for Bloomberg News in 2015. She eventually broke the news of his arrest for securities fraud. Smythe said her relationship with Shkreli was platonic until she started visiting him in prison in 2018. It was such a slap in the face, she says, to the media establishment. The matter had been settled. Martin was the villain, and that was that. Then I came along trying to humanize him a little. He's a piece of shit. And they were like, wait, this woman doesn't fit the narrative. She must be crazy. You are crazy.
Yeah, I can't even begin to support this.
Well, I'm sorry. Our narrative doesn't fit in your little box.
It doesn't. We're being kind.
And she's not like missing, you know, her arms and legs or anything. She's a normal looking woman. Shkreli was so annoyed that she revealed her relationship to the media. He broke off their romance via letter from his lawyer. He's like,
so
you made this public?
She went public with it, and that's when he broke up.
Yeah.
Something is so fucked up here, and we don't even know it.
But Smythe said he never cut her off completely, and they continued to converse by phone and closed-circuit prison email during the COVID pandemic. She says, quote, sometimes the guys who look good on paper and don't have red flags are overrated. Oh, you like a bad boy. You like somebody that's out there killing people and a real
Wait,
asshole.
She really said that?
Yeah. Sometimes the guys who look good on paper and don't have red flags are overrated. They're bored.
Wait,
she
that
likes
him?
Adventure. She likes adventure. No, she's saying this guy has red flags. This guy doesn't look good on paper. That's excitement. Before COVID hit, Smythe and Shkreli often spent between 4 and 5 hours sitting opposite each other in the prison visiting room, she said. Aw, where does the time go?
But as soon as she said they're together, he dumped her?
Yeah. But you can still come over and visit me.
Are we missing something?
Right?
Something. We're missing something. Because a dude like this would want to have, even for the story of it, so he can look better. Like, look, right. This woman loves me. She's a journalist, so she looked into me. He's dumping that. Something's up.
The relationship has never been consummated, of course, she says, because prison visitors were only allowed just 2 hugs and 1 close-mouth kiss. I wonder how you break it up. Do you go for 1 hug, and then you're like, let's save the other hug for later? Should we save the kiss now or kiss later? It was extremely frustrating, she says, of the hands-off prison visits. At the time, we were talking about a future together and having kids. Sure, sure.
Oh, my God.
He'll be released from the halfway house in September, like I said. She said she's been seeing, in quotes, a Colombian horror movie producer named Humberto, casually, but they haven't gotten serious yet. So that's funny, too, if you're Humberto and she doesn't really want to get serious with you. But Shkreli, they were going to have babies and they only met in jail.
Her whole feed is about him on Twitter.
Yeah.
And one of the things is somebody saying he's out of prison. Last week, his ex at this person told me about some of the post-prison ventures he's considering, including a podcast.
Sure.
A Substack, a dating app. And of course, he's very interested in crypto.
Of course. Sure.
Cool. Of course.
Awesome.
Sure.
That's Farmer Bro. Meanwhile, she said Shkreli's respect for her mind, intellect, and opinions have empowered her to change her life for the better. Just think about that when you're having trouble on Hinge.
Just think about that when you ever think anyone is canceled and they're male.
You found love. And you're dumped. I'm not into you.
You're dumped because you brought it. You said it to someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in jail. We could keep it a secret. And you blew it.
The thing is, like I said before, him having a girlfriend while in jail who is a journalist makes him look good on the outside. And he was like, no, 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 I got something else going on.
He's telling her he's better than her.
Oh, yeah.
All the, you're talking to me in jail. I owe millions for different reasons. I kill people. I don't think I'm being dramatic. But quite frankly, I'm better than you. Maybe mm-hmm. do some work on yourself and then we'll talk again. Come tomorrow, by the way. It gets boring.
He's saying, you make me look bad.
Yeah.
Let's keep this on the DL.
Yes.
I'm in prison. So I thought maybe that would deter you from mentioning this. But turns out, no. Now I got to do it.
And you know he was fucking with her head, you know? So it's like, okay, I'll take that second hug now. No, I think we're good. I'll see you later. Like, oh, we didn't take advantage of two hugs? I can't stop thinking about
it. No, I can't handle it. Yeah, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Keith and the Girl Day is coming up, Kemda.
Yep, July 4th.
July 4th. That means we show our Keith and the Girl pride and maybe you run into another fan. That's all. Those stories are so exciting to me. People wearing their gear, they met on airplanes, had babies. You know, not on the plane, but time went by. You know, a father and son didn't know that the father listened and the father didn't know the son listened, and it honestly connected them. These stories are so fun to me. Please, share them with us. Keith and the Girl Day, of course, July 4th we picked. So be ready with your shirt. Be ready with stickers. Be ready with all things Keith and the Girl. KeithandtheGirl.com/gear, G-E-A-R. I'm going to be wearing the cool people shirt. Hurt people, ours is cool people. All things Keith and the Girl, KeithandtheGirl.com/gear, G-E-A-R. Okay? And don't forget, of course, the marathon is so much fun. It's so much fun. It's available now for everybody, KeithandtheGirl.com/store. 24 hours, over 50 comedians. I mean, right at the beginning, we're starting with Dana Gould. That's how the thing begins. It's fantastic. I think you're going to like it a lot. All right. Thank you, everybody, for your support. Thanks for spreading the word. And we'll talk to you soon. KeithandtheGirl.com